Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What it is, welcome to an exciting adventure of Tyrus and the Wise Men. So, okay, so you get a lot of anniversaries. Does anyone know what anniversary today is in NWO, the NWO legacy?
Oh, geez. Okay, what are we? January 25th? Man, is it the Finger Poke of Doom?
No clue.
It's when Dusty Rhodes turned NWA. Yeah, Rhodes joined the NWA. I'm watching the clip right now. It's Scott Hall versus Larry Zbysko.
And, that's a barn burner.
Yeah, and Spicoli. I didn't. I forgot. Spicoli, rest his soul, was in the NWO for a short, hot minute. And I think Trevor might have been in the NWO too. I mean, there was.
I think everybody was.
No.
And
I'm not that old. I'm not that old.
So the play. I mean, but here's the thing, though. Dusty's probably what. 60 maybe in this something like that, and the place is going nuts. He hits the elbow, and then Zbysko grabs Scott Hall, and he winds up, does the thing, and hits Larry Zbysko. The crowd's still cheering anyways. They don't care, you know. And then Scott Hall does the double point at him. He takes the shirt off. He's got the NWO shirt on. Now he's dropping elbows, and I guess they were supposed to boo, but the place is going nuts. Like, they're just going nuts.
NWO was so awesome.
You know,
did they get the same reaction when Booty Man joined?
No. No, this is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Like, the only...
I think at one point, everybody became NWO. They were like, you know what? Like, let's just hop
on. But let's be honest, though. Who wants to be the guy who didn't get asked?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but who wants to be the 30th guy? Like,
hey, it's doing a Mr. Irrelevant. He's doing pretty good in the playoffs.
We should, you know, somewhere there has to be like a numbers list where everybody has it detailed in number who joined and when they joined, what number and what.
Oh, I'm sure there's some
nerd out there.
Yeah. We wouldn't call him a nerd, Aaron. I'd call him a historian. But if you want
to, I mean,
there,
I guess you'd call him a mark to be a about it. But
right, but we're not. At least not all of us.
That's just me.
Yeah.
The only thing, hey, you know what? It's funny, though, when you mentioned Booty Man with Beefcake, right? How many different characters he's had?
Wait, Booty Man was Beefcake? You're telling me the Disciple was the same guy as Booty Beefcake?
Okay, now I can feel him being a right now. Yeah, I feel it.
Was this after the boating accident, right? Like, this was...
Yeah, no, that was from Ron Bass. Everyone knows Ron Bass... Took the spurs to his face. Come on, man.
We don't break in the fourth wall here.
So,
my first time ever. Oh, go ahead, Tyrus.
No, go ahead. Your first time ever. I'm sure it has nothing
ever
to do
at like a major wrestling show. I was a senior in high school, and I went with Killer Kowalski. It was back to a WCW Nitro. It was like 97 or 98. And so, like, I was talking to this guy, and I was just having a conversation with him, and he had long hair and a beard, and I had no idea that it was Beefcake. It was right before he had come out as a disciple, and, like, he had just gotten all shredded and everything, and he had the long hair. I mean, he looked like, you know, a medieval artist representation of Jesus Christ, to be quite honest. But no, for the hair and the beard and stuff. And I was just really kind of taken aback by it, because, like, I didn't realize I was talking to Brutus Beefcake until 5 minutes into the conversation, and I went, oh,
So yeah,
that was
me and Trevor had a great route with Beefcake in Minnesota.
Really?
Go ahead, Luke. Tell a story, please.
Oh, go wait. Y'all ready? Or we got something else?
Oh no!
Because I'll give it.
Give it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So me and Trevor were working this show way in like 5 hours away from Minneapolis. It was a 5 hour drive, right? And we had to fly to Minneapolis. And the promoter told us, well, hey, do y'all mind if Beefcake rides up with y'all?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, I don't, you know, I don't want somebody else calling the shots that's been on the road all this time. We, you know, we paid our dues at this point. We don't want to cater to somebody else. But, you know, because you hear the stories, right? I didn't know him, so I didn't know if he was going to be a jerk or if he was going to be somebody cool to ride with. So, but of course, we were going to say, yeah. So I told Trevor, I said, man, you got to ask him about that cocaine incident in the subway, the anthrax incident when he shut down the whole subway. I think in Boston it was. So Trevor's like, no, you ask him. You ask him. And I'm like, well, let's feel it out. Let's see how he is. If he's cool, I'll ask him. So we ride the whole way up there, and he talks the whole time. And he also directs us because he knows everything in the area because he worked up there for all those years back in the day. So he told us the whole way. He was super cool. So on the way home, we're driving back a couple of days later, got that five-hour ride. Trevor's in the back seat. I'm driving. Brutus is in the passenger seat. I look in the rear view, and I see Trevor pointing at me going, ask him, motherfucker. Ask him.
I want to know.
Yeah. So I was like, all right. I said, hey, what happened with that anthrax cocaine incident in the subway when you shut the subway down? Hey, and I wouldn't know how he was going to react. He did not miss a beat. He went right into it. He goes, oh, that stupid was working there. You know, she said it was cocaine, but what it was a big powder. I had a bad headache, and you get two in a pack. And I took a powder.
The
BC powder. That's what it is. I took you got two in a pack. I left one on the counter, and that was during the anthrax scare time. So everybody thought it was anthrax. So they come in, they shut the railway down, they take me out, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to tell them that it's BC powder. They test me, and I pop positive for cocaine. But I was partying the whole night before, and I had cocaine in my system. So they thought I was on cocaine at the job, but I wasn't. So that was the whole – and it cost the place millions of dollars, obviously, because the whole place got shut down. The whole city got shut down. And, hey, it was great. And that's I probably not the best storyteller on that, but that just – he was just like, yeah, it was just BC powder, you know? I shut the whole subway down for a whole day.
And
it's a prime example of how the media, like, blew it out of proportion what it was.
Did they?
Of course it was BC.
It was BC powder.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
You got to look out for the boys.
Yes, dear. She's an insurance salesman. Yes, dear. That's talking to her about adding you guys to my life insurance, dear.
I wasn't on it.
I use it at night. But never at work, because I draw a fine line between...
What Luke's not telling you is the whole time he's telling the story, we're looking at each other in the rear view mirror like,
Wait, was he driving?
Luke was driving.
Oh, okay, I was about to say, chances are...
in the passenger seat,
He was very alert on the road.
You know, I just think it was just that time, you know? A lot of those guys from that era never really knew when it was over. You know what I'm saying? Like that partying, you know, because it was a different time. You know, like when people think about wrestling today, it's pretty mundane opposed to like how it was back then in terms of like how guys took care of themselves. You know, now, instead of doing, you know, a line of coke, we try to get 6 hours of sleep.
Two run cycles or I can't function. Two run cycles, I'm good to go.
And those guys post Instagram videos of working out every day.
Yeah.
Yes. But those guys were running six days a week, man. Like those 7 days a week, that was their life. Yeah. Like, could you guys imagine not going home for 30 days and just kind of stopping in?
I mean, they stop in. Here's the thing. If a guy got hurt and couldn't go, he was replaced. That's how deep the bench was. So, Haku tells me the story recently. Hacksaw Jim Duggan was in the news for whooping the ass of a guy trying to rob him. What a mistake that was.
Right.
But,
what do you do if you break in the house and all of a sudden you see it's Hacksaw Jim Duggan? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's got to be party that's like, oh,
He's at least got a 2x4.
Yeah.
He's at least got a 2x4 next to the bed. You know what I mean?
So
he's coming out of the shower. Oh, yep.
So
wrong house.
Wrong house. Yeah. Nice. Whoops. And so Haku, who he had knee surgery, he had knee replacement surgery yesterday, and he's doing well. He's doing fine.
Good.
But he told me like this is how it was back when they were working those loops. So him and Hacksaw had a feud going when he was the king, and Hacksaw had ruptured his Achilles tendon. So he was done. And if he couldn't go, he's not getting paid. I mean, they'll have another guy come in. So what they did was Haku worked him on one leg for their, you know, 3 months they were running until he was better. So the boys would take care of each other. So every night, Hacksaw would come down to the ring. Haku would jump him and work his leg. And then eventually, you know, he'd get up and do what he's got to do or whatever. But they took care of each other because they had no choice. Because if a guy goes down and he can't go, he's gone. So you can't, you know, you're not paying your bills. So they'd be on the road. So I think a lot of ways that generation, that's why when they see each other, it's such a love affair. You know, when the guys see each other, when they run into each other, because they were basically their own family and they took care of each other.
But you know what's also crazy about that, Tom, is those guys, not everybody, but a lot of those guys made some big money back then.
Well, it was disproportionate, but yeah, like Hogan made a ton. Kamala didn't make anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Guys, like in the territory days, you see some of these checks they were getting, you know, $3,500 for the week, you know, or for a payday, for one show. You go back and look at all the stuff Cornette has in his locker room and all his savings and stuff and his check stubs. And you're like, wait, Jim Cornette was making that much money back then? And you're just going, he was a manager and he did other stuff, but you just thought, like, $3,500 in like 1985 was a lot of money.
Right. Well, that was also, you thought the business was going to last forever too. You know what I mean? They fell, a lot of wrestlers fell.
Well, and then good old Johnny IRS also loved to pop in. And then a lot of, you live on the road. So these guys, you know, renting cars, buying cars just for the road, hotels, life on the road. And then you got to pay the bills at home. And so
Harley said he bought a new car every year. Like, yeah, that was,
they had to.
Like, you got a new car every year.
You had to because you were in it all year. Yep. You know, so guys would find way, but it was like a guy like Hogan who would go out and he'd do his thing, but Hogan was making millions, you know, and then the guy who was working, like, it was the dream. If you got to work Hogan in a program, it was like you hit the lottery because you're going to make some money, you know, so you would want to be, you know, and Hogan liked working bigger guys. So he would, you know, the bigger guys, and then you'd want to get in a feud with him. And that could be a 2 pay-per-view feud if you're lucky. Like, I think Bundy probably had the most pay-per-views and stuff, and he got that one. He beat him on, Saturday Night Main Event, leading into the Andre match going in there. But you wanted those, you wanted to wrestle the big guy. You know, that eventually, you know, it was like you wanted to be in there with Savage, and you wanted to be in there with Ultimate Warrior, because those are the guys that got you paid. But after that, it drops off substantially, you know, and then you have guys who are like not making much at all, but still having to make towns. Like, it's just, you know, that's, and you always hear like, you know, oh, that's why there needed to be a union and things like that. But it's hard to save money when you're actively spending all the time. And of course, they made horrible decisions, a lot of them. And of course, if you're spending a lot of your money on cocaine, you're going to be broke really quick. Yeah. I mean, because, you know.
And it's, yeah. And the thing is, too, on the road, where, especially in the lifestyle, and look, I mean, we're fairly familiar with it. I mean, we weren't in there in the 80s, but it was still kind of that rigorous grind where when we did an average loop was, it was 6 days a week, 5 full days, right?
Yeah.
And like, okay, all you're concerned about sometimes is when you do that show and you go through that, like performing in front of a live crowd, I don't care who you are. It is very emotionally taxing to some level, right? Like your nervous system goes through kind of this up and down and the adrenaline spike and everything. So you're feeling like that. Now you have to drive to the next town. You got to get something to eat, got to get a hotel, sleep, whatever. And sometimes all you're concerned about is that next meal at Waffle House. That's all you're thinking about. Or how late, you know, can you get a checkout at the hotel? And you just don't realize like these little comforts, you know, oh, I'm just going to buy a car to make myself feel good or anything. Like that's all you have sometimes with some people. It's not right. But we see it a lot in the overcompensation with material goods because your life is just so kind of mundane at its core.
Makes sense. Not just that, but you also see like when guys got beat up. Now we got trainers. Now a guy, you know, says, oh, I'm hurt, I got a rehab. He doesn't get fired. Back then, if they were beat up or hurt, it was like take 2 of these so you could wrestle. Well, it makes me sleepy. Well, okay, well, then take this. This will get you up. So
you think that kind of started with the concussions?
Yeah.
You think that like the trainers and stuff and the taking time off really started since the concussions became such a big deal? And
I think
like,
so. Okay, yeah. Well. I think that's I think that changed the game.
2006 would that be? That's probably the time.
Yeah.
Where I also think it kind of started a little bit earlier as far as like the guys getting fusion and neck surgeries and things like that.
Well, but, that
and it really really took off as a wellness policy.
The ordeal, the ordeal with Eddie. And then Benoit wasn't too far after that, really. I felt I was there in the middle of it, and that really sparked them trying to, whether it was to look good in front of the public or whatever the motivation was, to take care of us. And they really went into that rigorous, like you said, the drug program, testing everybody.
Yeah, because the WWE's drug program is more vicious, I guess you could say, or more stringent. Than NFL, NBA, all of them combined. So
it's every month there.
Oh, we were made to feel like criminals. We were made to feel like criminals. To be honest,
we'll be back with much more after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I personally spent $11,000 in fines there because I was positively testing for THC. But at that time, the mentality of it was, I'm making $5,000-$6,000 a week. I'll give you $1,000 a month to just be happy. You know what I mean? That you just
the only downside of that is if you get sent to rehab for weed.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like you're in the rehab meeting and. Like people are selling their bodies and you're like, no, I'm not. I just smoke cannabis. I passed all my stuff. I've always been, when it came to like weed and stuff, I got to just turn it off. My problem wasn't weed. My problem was cupcakes and those motherfuckers were everywhere. So, you know what I'm saying? I could get a cupcake any time of night. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't have to, nobody tested for that. Well, I guess they did. It's called scale. You know, you get on a weight scale, test positive for cupcakes again. Yep. I gained 3 pounds. So,
you test positive for weed, your cupcake hunger goes up double,
even more. So yeah, so I couldn't get fined and fined because I remember one time I don't know what I did. I think it was I was feuding with Sandow. Sandow and I, which is Aaron, I had him clip my leg, and when I tell you that I trust him completely in the ring. To where I didn't even look back. You know, a guy's going to run and chop your leg out from behind you. If you look at, you know, I just didn't even break stride. I'm like, just hit me whenever you're going to hit me. Yep. And when he did, it looked like a car accident. And Fit Finley, Arn Anderson, and I think Dean Malenko jumped up and said, holy f- he broke his leg. And they were like cussing Aaron out. He just broke his leg. They were going, like rushing. To where when I was laying, of course, and I'm selling it, you know, and he's standing over me or whatever. And they looked at me and I was just like, they're like, where does it hurt? Where does it hurt? Where does it hurt? And I just giggled, you marks. And so I was limping everywhere. I got a knee brace and I was like walking through. And if you get those old school knee wraps from top to bottom, you can't bend your knee. So nope. I'm limping through the airport. I'm getting, you know, a special seat.
We were going into SummerSlam.
I was milking this thing and all my matches. I'm limping around and stuff. And I guess the big fella doesn't watch the program. So Vince was like, why is he walking like that? Is he getting fatter? You know? I don't know that's exactly what he said, but that was the basic.
A couple hundred thousand dollars a year on this guy.
That was the gist of it, right? Like, so Triple H comes up to me and he's got a look on his face. Like, the one thing I like to say, he was always a player's coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was getting like power slammed into pig. So you know he's paid his dues, but he comes walking up to me and he's got like half a smirk, half a frown. And he's like, The big fella doesn't like the way you were moving in the ring tonight. And I said, well, I was selling my leg. He's like, you're healed, okay? Your leg is healed, and he wants you to lose. He wants you to lose 30 pounds by next Raw. I said,
oh,
I just looked at him, and said, it's Tuesday. Like, any tips? He's like, just maybe drink water. Like, he had no idea. And I'm sitting there, and in the worst place is catering, so I have a plate of food in front of me. Of course, I push it away. And then he's like, you know, hey, maybe he'll forget about it, you know, because he gets busy or whatever. And I'll starve myself all week, right? And then I came in, and I didn't even get asked to weigh in. I was pissed. I actually lost 9 pounds that week. But, you know, and it's one of those things where you're just like, I was doing the part, but they don't always – pay attention. You know what I'm saying? And you can take those things and run with it. But I shouldn't have been in the situation in the first place. I should have always kept, but I was always up and down with my weight. Like, I would have a good week and then I would have a pizza week, you know, and I was just, that was my issue was food, not necessarily drugs. So I didn't have to, I don't like look down on someone whose addiction was different than mine. Because they have the same consequences. It's just mine is socially accepted and theirs is not.
Yeah. And many times I will say this, you know, as you're recanting these stories, I would appreciate, because Santino, who was our travel partner, was really horrible about like trying to stick to diets and you could.
Oh,
you
know, he was an enabler. He was an enabler.
But you and I, we would always, when it was time to grab, you know, you needed that little something. Sometimes you just need a Snickers or whatever, or a Mountain Dew. And we would always see each other doing it, but give each other the nod and like not stooge it off to Santino, which I always appreciated. But again, didn't make it right. So I may have enabled you and vice versa. But
his answer was always just have some Metamucil. So he would want to go to a place and eat a bunch of bad food. And he goes, listen, just have some Metamucil afterwards. It's like you didn't eat it at all. That's not accurate. That's not accurate. But at 1 o'clock in the morning at a Waffle House, you're going to believe it.
To be fair, as a body guy, I did have a theory. It was called yourself lean. So in theory, I think Santino is onto something, because if you really want to get leaned up, you take a bunch of, you know, Sienna tea the night before, the Metamucil, the fiber powder. And I mean, you just like, you clear your house.
Yeah.
You are shredded. You're
okay. You know something?
Perfectly fine.
This is a serious question, and I don't want to interrupt the podcast. Tyrus, if you'd like to talk about anything else.
No. We're why not? Good. Go.
Yeah. Let's go.
I was coming back from a show once, and a long story short, I had consumed on the drive from Nashville to Louisville back home 26, you know, Crystal Burgers.
Jesus.
Okay. No. Yeah. Jesus. I'm not 26. And this is, again, God's honest truth. Stopped at a gas station.
Crystal Burger?
Crystal Burger.
Like White Castle.
It's awful. Sorry. Unless they want to sponsor us.
They taste amazing as long as you only eat like six of them.
Jesus.
No. And I counted these. And I had a large Diet Coke and two orders of fries. Stopped at a gas station, had a grape soda and a chocolate chip cookie, and drove home. That was also consequently the same night that I was accosted by a bat who flew out of a tree and tried to, like, it almost attacked me, but I was spared. The next morning, I got up, not thinking of what I did the night before, and in about 2 seconds, it was over. But I literally felt like my insides were pressure washed. Why, like, medically is that possible? And I was shredded. I was lean. I wasn't bloated. I was ready to go. I was literally ready to run a marathon. So, EC3, is that kind of in line with your theory?
Absolutely not.
No.
Okay.
No. In a sense, another bodybuilder hack, too, is like sometimes when you have that pig out session, your body, maybe because you're probably eating fairly clean, you're probably eating pretty decent, and you're, you know, making good results, but something about like bad food and sugar, the insulin spike, if you do it right, that's why like bodybuilders have these huge carb nights and these huge cheat meals on their days of competition. Because it pulls a lot out of them. So you may have just hit the lucky window of time, place, 26 God, okay. Crystal. But like then, yeah, the good clean out right afterwards. Yeah, you're popping, bro. You know?
Yeah.
So
okay.
You're dialed in.
Gotcha. Because it wasn't induced by any kind of other supplement. So that's and the body is a machine though, right? Like it's going to kind of get rid of what it don't need, toxins. And I think even now, like it was in terms of health where, And again, I'm not trying to step on one industry or another, but like that stupid food pyramid where they were saying how like Captain Crunch and Lucky Charms, which are both great cereals, by the way.
Love Lucky Charms.
Are like, what the hell? Like, how stupid do they think the public is?
Very.
Did you guys see that?
Very, they're pretty dumb. Very stupid and fat.
They're
pretty
dumb. Yeah. They're horrible people.
No, we are. No, society is. Society will believe anything if you say it three times.
It comes down to being lazy. We're all a little lazy. Yeah,
everyone wants to hear. Just think about it. My bowl of cereal that I have on my couch while I watch Jerry Springer, somebody comes on TV and says it's good for me. So what the hell are you talking about, Mom? Like, it's an enabler. Like, hey, you fat f***, keep eating frosted mini wheats for lunch and breakfast. Yeah, it's even better when you have it at 3 a.m. with no exercise ever. Like, yeah, you're winning. You know, wash down some corn fructose syrup and milk because you're a grown adult and you need a lot of milk. So, absolutely. And we believe and argue it. But even the original one, when they were throwing cheese and stuff in there, like, it's all a money-making scheme. It's who, like, when the head developer, now listen, I identify as a conspiracy theorist and my pronouns are I told you.
World class.
Thank you. When your head scientist is funded by Lucky Charms, chances are Lucky Charms is going to turn out pretty good. So, yeah, right. The General Mills and these other companies are lobbying the food pyramid. So that's how you get on there, because you pay. It's just like anything else. It's like I used to think about awards like, oh, man, Emmys and Oscars. And then you look, it's like whatever company pays the most gets to win. So the most money you put into something, because if you don't pay, you can't get an Emmy. So I was blown away by this because I was naive a little bit, and I was like, "Hey, we're the number one late night comedy, so we should get an Emmy." And they're like, "No, we don't pay the service fee and the registration fee." And I was
invited.
Like, "What?
We're not even invited."
No, because you don't pay; you have to pay them. So whoever pays the most usually gets the deal. So it's one of those things. It's a work. Like in wrestling, our answer for everything it's a work. You know, everything's a work. And it is. And it 1,000% is.
But here's the thing is, you could say that 500 times on here, and the real world out there isn't going to believe any of it.
No.
That's what's crazy about it. It's people are so blind to it.
Well, you know what it is? I think people, they just like to escape. Like, TV's their great escape. And unfortunately, I think reality TV is really shaped the way people are distortedly look at things is everything they see on TV is real now. And even like going to a movie, they'll complain about the movie as if it was a real, like it was an actual, it was an actual documentary. Like Avatar was an actual documentary, and they couldn't help but notice that there wasn't enough people of color playing a group that were blue. Like, it's not real. It's the same thing right now. The Harry Potter, which I don't think I've seen one episode. I've never read her book. It just didn't appeal to me. But they're going after her for her views, and they're trying to take down her video game as if it has anything to do with her. It is a magical world. It has nothing to do with it. It's not a real world. So, you know, calling her transphobic has nothing to do with what she's doing at all. But it's just amazing to me.
Enjoy getting eaten by her own.
Yeah.
Enjoy, like,
well, she's been an OG though. I gotta give it up to her. She's been an OG since day one. Like, and they just gone after her. You know, they just go after her, but the kids love her books. So they can't really hurt her. And every time they make a movie, it's, you know, it does well. So she's in that precarious situation where they attack her constantly to get noticed. Like, it's on my news feed. Like, when we get stories this week, I'm like, I don't want to do this story. And they're like, why? I said, because I feel like you're just giving attention to the cancelers and the haters.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
Everyone loves Elvis. Elvis was grooming a 14-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So should we not, should we get rid of all his work? You know?
He was what?
His wife was 10 years younger than him. Priscilla,
no, he was
right?
Of legal age. Priscilla?
What? Yeah. Are you serious?
She was underage. Yeah.
Yeah, legal age where? South Africa?
Uh-oh.
Walk right in that one, Elvis, now.
You missed out on that biography?
He was blinded. You know, he was absolutely blinded.
And cool and not have any weird stuff like that. Like, I think I speak for the general public.
I don't think you
do. Why can't we just have somebody that doesn't have something? Like, everyone, why can't we just have like
a No, like everyone has something. You're just not supposed to know what it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, something needs to be that no one knows about. And if they do find out about it, you just go away. What? You know, like, oh, like you found my thing. Well, like, as soon as that's out, it's time to go. Like, oh, my thing's out there. Well, I'm out.
Yeah, you could be like Tony Atlas and own it and just have some old lady punch you in the face on the internet.
Yeah, I know. And again, that's you can own it, but you go away. That's it. Like, when they find out your secret weirdo, whatever your little deal is, that's a wrap. It's done. You know, I think that should be the rule. You're like, hey, he's a great actor, but that whole thing with the mermaids is just too much. He's got to go. Love you.
Enough is enough, right? I mean, no one says this, but look, there's right and there's wrong, and that's it.
Yeah.
And like,
no.
Stop being weirdos. You know what I mean? To people that are super famous, just friggin' stop. You're okay. Look at your life. It's pretty cool.
You had a good run. You're weird. Out, you're done. Next man up.
Yep. Done. Over. Game over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, go away. We don't need this.
You know, if you spend your weekends recreating the Rocky Mountain Horror Show and we find out about it, it's a wrap. That's it.
You found out, bro. Yo, hey. Found out about me.
Sorry, Trev.
Damn it. You got me. Baby, put the pantyhose up. They know what's going on.
You
know,
you just come out and your press conference is real simple. You just look at them, go, whatever. You know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm out. No more interviews. I'm done.
Rocky Horror is for all people. I'm a fan.
Yeah, that's why I said it. No one defends him that show like Aaron does. I'm just waiting for that character to come out. I'm just waiting. Oh. I said I'm waiting for that character to come out. When that strolls out to the ring, hey, I'll just leave the belt in the ring for you to pick it up. I'm out. I'm rolling out. You want it a lot more than I do.
Yeah. Oh my. You know what? I was going to sing a few bars, but I'm not going to go there.
You know what? I will give you the time. Everyone here, we will give him the time.
At the moment, yes, 100%.
No, yeah, yeah. Kevin would love it.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. Aaron, you can sing on Halloween. Let's go.
Aaron's a showman. Aaron's a showman.
No, for Halloween, maybe I'll do it, but I'm not doing it now because the moment passed. I didn't want to.
No. Go. Aaron, do you sing?
Come on.
Yeah, he does.
No, right,
he knows the entire script by heart.
I have taken a lot. When I was Sandow from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, like when you pronounce certain things, the narrator, like, I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey. Like it was very,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought,
he can't resist. He can't resist. He's like, his things. I ladies and gentlemen, he's going to expose himself. He can't help it. He can't help it.
What? I want to be the narrator. That's who I would be.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want to be the narrator. You want to be the narrator and the space vampire or whatever.
Tim Curry. I'm not Tim Curry.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't familiar. He knows the actor's name. That's how much he's into it.
It's Tim Curry. It's the most iconic role.
To be fair, Tim Curry is a well-known actor. I mean, look. It's Tim Curry.
How many people here know the name of the character Tim Curry played in the Rocky Mountain Horror Show?
I have Rocky Mountain Horror Show.
It is Dr. Frankenfurter.
Thank you. I rest my case, Aaron.
Meatloaf was in that.
Okay, rest his soul.
You know, Papa Judy bless my soul. You don't need to sing it.
Do it. Go for it.
What? No, you never know. You never know. Yeah. No. But we have a few minutes left. Maybe I'll you have to say, listen.
Speaking of which, look, you just brought up Meatloaf. Who's the best musician turned actor, or that has?
Oh,
acted?
That's a good question.
Ding.
No,
David Bowie.
Bowie's up there, I think. Yeah, Labyrinth. Bowie in the Prestige.
Wait a minute, stop. Kevin Kiley was doing a Bowie. Go, Kev.
I would do anything for love.
But hey, I got one for you.
Right? But I won't do that.
That's Timberlake.
Tina Turner.
Tina Turner was great.
Thunderdome.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that was solid.
Do they have to have more than one big role, though?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, like
okay,
like,
so
like
what
they have
singer,
to have like a career.
What about Dolly Parton?
Dolly Parton, yeah. Dolly Parton's phenomenal.
Tyrese?
Justin Timberlake.
What about Tyrese is more known. Do you think he's more known for the movies now than he is his music? Because yeah,
well, his music career ended abruptly because him and the record company got into a thing, and I think they still hold the rights to all his songs. So I think that's
Harry Connick Jr.
Harry Connick's good too. He's good. He gets a lot of acclaim. Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Is my phone on? Is my phone on? Justin Timberlake?
Yeah. Nobody? No. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Solid.
He did great.
Okay, I'm just gonna say it.
All in our genres.
I'm just gonna say it, and I'm John Cena.
Fantastic. He's awesome.
No, dude, he's got two rap albums.
Yeah. But he's hard to compare to like Tina Turner.
Turner didn't star in Transformers.
Ice Cube.
was WWE produced though, right?
It doesn't matter. Like, they're all produced.
You're right.
And it went platinum, didn't it? His rap
it did well. He did some cover. I know he did a cover with Snoop.
Tyrus, what about Ice Cube and Ice-T?
I'd say I definitely Ice Cube. Yeah, I got it. You know what? I think Ice Cube wins it because not only did he do movies, he produced and made his own production company. So you know what I'm saying. So I think you got to. I think
Cube over T.
I brought that.
But you know what though? I'm glad you mentioned that because you know who ended up being the most OG realist dude of them all? Ended up being Ice-T.
Really?
Yeah. Like
super nice guy. Like,
well, no, but I'm just saying, like, so many people like stole his stuff. You know, like 99 Problems. Jay-Z took that, wouldn't give him credit for it. Mm-hmm. Like there was so many different guys. Like he was the guy telling Pac, like, hey, stop trying to run with these, you know, this blood stuff, you know, like you're not one of them. No matter what you do, you just have money. You know what I'm saying? And then, so he was always in it, but no one ever listened to him. And then now he's like the last one standing, you know, from that era. And the fact that he is still standing is insane to me because of how many people that he has influenced or been involved with. But yeah, well, I think Ice Cube, Justin Timberlake genre. Are I would say the top two because a lot of times, like if, a singer does a one spot, you know, like you know David Bowie in the Labyrinth. You know, I think he did some other stuff, but that's all I remember is
most notable.
Yeah, because the pants were inappropriate.
The hair, bro.
The hair is fine. You want to have
eyeliner was on point.
You want to have all that stuff, but you know he was wearing workout pants before workout pants was fashionable, and children watching that stuff, and it was grossly, you know, it was embellishment. They embellished a certain area to where, like, when you watch it as an adult, you're like, "Come on, man!" Like, yeah, was that necessary?
Boys are watching this.
Yeah, you know,
guys, if we're talking about bands that are crushing it, can we talk about our boss a little bit and how he's out there killing it right now? Talking about age, talk about like, dude, that guy Billy seems like he's on point right now, just as good as
he was. You know what's funny is like so many people don't associate Billy Corgan with Smashing Pumpkins. They'll be like, I love Smashing Pumpkins. And then you're like, yeah, Billy Corgan. Who? Oh, wait, that's not the same guy. That's a different guy. I'm like, no, it's the same guy. It's like they're diehard Smashing Pumpkins. But he's such a reluctant star. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? But he's been everywhere. Like if you ever ask him a story about any point in the 90s, he was there in the room. You know, like – of everybody. It didn't matter who it was. Dennis Rodman, Chicago Bull. Doesn't matter. Anything was going on, he was there. But he just,
he's,
you know.
He's huge in music, though, yeah.
Yeah, like, no, he's, here's the deal. Huge. Since we brought it up, so, of course, I knew who the Smashing Pumpkins was. I think 1979 was probably my favorite song. But had I ever seen him in concert before? No, I hadn't. So I had no idea in terms of, like, his riffs on guitars and like all that kind of stuff. When we all met up and went to the show in New Orleans, that was the first time I had ever seen him perform live.
Yeah.
So I had no idea about the guitar play. Absolutely no idea. And I don't mind saying it. I was absolutely blown away. I mean, I had no clue that he was that smooth. Like he's up there with Prince in terms of like, he can play anything. Like that guitar speaks to you. Like I was shocked. You think you know stuff, you know, but because I'm not a concert guy, and that's just because of all those years of being a bodyguard and standing on stage while someone else was singing. Whenever I'm there, I always feel like I'm working, and at some point someone's gonna ask me where the bathroom is, and I'm gonna get pissed off and I wanna leave, you know. So it's like I'm not a big concert guy, you know, because once you go to a rap concert, you never want to go to a concert again, because there's nothing worse than a rap concert. Absolute worst. The hype men ruin it. Yeah. You're just like, dog, shut up. No one came to see you. Like, please stop. Like, we get it. You agree.
I thought that'd be a good
you
job
agree
for me.
With his music. Okay. You know, and so, but whenever Snoop brought a band in, it was next level. So the band, if you're going to go to a concert, it has to be a rock and roll concert. In my opinion, yep. Like when they just play music and they lip sync and dance around, I mean, that's just, I can watch
I
that.
I think the whole NWA roster got to watch him play this summer. He had hit so many spots where we were all at. Mm-hmm. We all got to watch him play. I know he came down here by me and just sold out the place, man. I didn't think he would do as well as he did.
No, Smashing Pumpkins is iconic. They are an iconic band. They have their own bass. It's just like Van Halen has a bass. Guns N' Roses has a bass. They have, like, you know, forums, and they have community fans in different states and stuff. Like,
one thing I noticed was variety of people too. You know what I mean? There was old people, young people. Like, it wasn't just one group of people. There was, they had everybody. It was jam packed.
Yeah, I just noticed. A lot of piercings.
He does breed that type of
and
fan.
And
you know
some
mean?
People, after a certain age, the piercings don't look as good as they think they do. I'm just going to put that out there. If you're on the wrong side of 40, it's time to take the nose ring out. Just, you had a good run. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You had a good run. But, you know.
They're living the moment, man. They're reliving their youth.
The hole as it closes up, you'll be fine.
Yeah, gravity is pulling. You know, just so you're aware, it's not a good look. Do what you want. Yeah. Do what you want. But sometimes when you 6'8", you just can't get away from it. You know, because you just want to sit down and enjoy things. But I just can't stand large groups of people, which is weird because I'm in entertainment. I don't mind if I'm performing.
You don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it gets old. It's something you're used to every day. It's not, you know, it's not a one-time thing. You're used to doing it time after time and time on a daily basis. So, you know, you're not just taking every other month you're going to a concert. It's frustrating when you can't do what you need to do when you need to do it.
Right.
Especially when you're on a busy schedule.
Yeah, because whenever someone asks me something, I'm like, I'd rather watch it at home. They're like, oh, why are you like that? I said, because whenever I'm in front of a crowd, I feel like I have to work.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
My wife hates it because when I come home off the road, the last thing I want to do is go anywhere and be around anybody.
Yeah, but you come home like, hey, let's have a vacation. We're going to stay in a hotel by the beach. You're like, that's not a vacation to me. That's work.
Right. And my wife has been home the whole time, take care of the kids, doing her thing. She wants to get out. So it's, you got to find a happy medium.
Yep. Nap on the beach.
Divorce.
Divorce?
Oh, divorce. Not an option. Come on now.
Sometimes that's the option, right? Let's just say this is keeping it real.
Well,
man.
Sometimes, but I'm trying to stay clear of that.
All the man said was he was trying to meet her halfway, and all you jaded motherfuckers tell him, get divorced.
I got 20 years on this sentence.
Yeah.
I'm almost done.
Yeah, man. Come on. Yeah, man. You would. Could you imagine Trevor in today's dating game? Oh, my God. I would pay money to watch that. Yeah.
Oh, dude, the things I did as a young man, I can only imagine what I did as a single man.
Him trying to figure out what non-binary, does that mean that they know how to fix a car? What piston does that have to do with?
Shaking my head.
And with that, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. Real quick, fellas, let everybody know where they can find you. EC3, start it for us.
Find me at The Real EC3 on Instagram and social media. Come see us January 31st in Knoxville. And I believe we have a pay-per-view in Tampa February 11th, but we may have sold it out already.
Oh, sweet. All right, Trevor.
All right. You guys can catch me at The Real T. Murdoch on Instagram and Twitter. And, of course, at Facebook, you got the pretty little blue check mark. And I will be with EC3 and the rest of you boys January 31st in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Aaron, I got a roll call. Aaron, K, come on.
Yeah, well, you know what? I was feeling the roll call.
So you can find me on Instagram at the Aaron Files. That's T-H-E-A-R-O-N Files. And that's really the only one that casting directors care about. So just follow me on there and we'll be fine.
At Kylie Jr. WWE, I'm headed down to Orlando for local pro wrestling in a couple days and to hang out with EC3 a little bit and see what's up, see what happens.
All right, Luke, bring us home.
Yeah, have me at Luke Hawks 504, L-U-K-E-H-A-W-X 504 on all social media or at Wildcat Sports, W-I-L-D-K-A-T. Check it out and check out NWA.com or NWA on all social media. We're here. We're live. We're direct. Fox News, the wise men, baby. Thank you, Tyrus. Thank you, Trevor. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, EC3.
Well, thank you.
All right. Enough said. Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.